4 months ago, I spoke about the philosophical movement called existentialism, an outlook which has achieved some popularity in this country, even though it originated in Europe and has always had much more influence there. At that time, I noted that existentialists have a wide range of views with regard to religion, ranging from the very pro-Christian, make a leap of faith, don't rely on reason view of the Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard, to the very anti-theistic, God is dead, let us take evolution seriously view of German existentialist Friedrich Nietzsche. I noted that I was discussing the existentialist viewpoint, even though I personally don't have much sympathy for it, and for its revolt against the 18th century Enlightenment with its trust in reason and reasonableness and its optimism about humanity's capacity for future progress. In this sermon, I want to discuss another outlook in the philosophy of the last 150 years, one with which I am very sympathetic, namely pragmatism. It is the only major movement in philosophy that has originated in this country, and it is one that has had a major influence on Unitarian Universalist thinking. Unlike existentialism, pragmatism is much in harmony with the rationalism and optimism of the 18th century Enlightenment, which was also a major influence in the creation of this country. Pragmatism refers to a very sophisticated philosophical viewpoint that has many practical implications within and beyond philosophy. At its core, pragmatism maintains that ideas or theories are true to the extent that they work. That is, to the extent that you can rely on them when you take action. The Greek word pragma means works which are done or things which are accomplished. Having true ideas for the pragmatist is like having a good map that reliably helps you get to where you want to go. The core ideas of pragmatism come from observing how scientists actually work in order to discover what is true and what is false. The pragmatists oppose the view of the rationalists of the 17th and 18th centuries, such as Descartes, Spinoza, and Leibniz, who claimed that one could know what is true on the basis of just rational intuition and the logical implications of those insights. The geometry of Euclid was the model of how to acquire knowledge, and it could be applied to the physical world starting with intuitive insights such as something can't come from nothing, and the total amount of matter in the universe cannot increase or decrease, and nothing can happen without a cause, and the more perfect cannot come from the less perfect. The general outlook of the rationalists was that God must exist as the cause of the physical universe. But at the same time, Spinoza used the same general rationalist approach to claim that reason showed that God must be identical with the physical universe, that is, a pantheism, rather than God being a separate cause of the universe. So Spinoza was a person against the traditional religious views, even in his 18th century, 17th century. The pragmatists also opposed the view of the empiricists of the 16th to the 19th century, philosophers like Francis Bacon and John Stuart Mill, on grounds that one could not acquire knowledge just using one's senses, unless one had some prior notion of what is to be looked at or listened to. Just looking at the stars in the heavens or listening to the sounds in the forest is not going to generate knowledge. We need a theory to guide our sensing. And that prior theory comes from using our reason to formulate notions about what might be true. Thus, pragmatists claim that in order to acquire knowledge, one must use both reason to formulate hypotheses or theories about what might be true, especially about what might cause what, and our senses to discover which hypothesis or theory correctly predicts what will happen in a particular situation. This way of acquiring knowledge is precisely what scientists do when they conduct experiments to determine which hypotheses and theories are true and which are not. Even when there is a general consensus about what is probably true, we have to conduct experiments to determine what is in fact true, at least as far as we can determine that at this moment. A crucial event in the history of science, and very relevant to pragmatism in the history of philosophy, occurred in 1919 during a total eclipse of the sun. The issue which of two alternative theories about the nature of the physical world was true. The physical theory of Isaac Newton was based on Euclidean geometry and certain rational intuitions, such as light always travels in straight lines, and that if a beam of light was projected from a moving object, the actual speed of the light waves in that beam of light would be the sum of the speed of the light generally and the speed of the moving object. You'd have to add them together. That is, it seemed evident that the light would go faster if it was projected from a forward moving object than if it was projected from a non-moving object or an object moving in the opposite direction. Newton's theory not only seemed rational, but also relied on verification by many empirical investigations, and it was accepted by almost everyone. On the other hand, Albert Einstein's theory of relativity was based on different, somewhat counterintuitive suppositions, namely that light traveled along curved paths, but with such a small amount of curvature that it could not be detected at short distances, and that the speed of light was constant, regardless of the motion of the light source. It had virtually no support from other physicists. How could we determine which of these two theories is true? The resolution of the issue was possible because, as Einstein himself noted, the two theories gave different predictions about how much variation would take place in the apparent position of the stars during a total eclipse of the sun, as opposed to the observed position of the stars at night, when the light rays from the sun stars would not be bent by the gravitational pull of the sun, which even according to Newton, there would be some bending, but not as much as would be predicted by Einstein's theory. The observations in 1919 turned out to be more in accord with the predictions based on Einstein's theory. And this became even more evident on the basis of further observations. There was still some dispute after 1919 because of the instruments that they had at that time. For most astronomers, these observations proved that Einstein's theory of relativity is more correct or true than Newton's theory. Now the plans for space flights are always based on the theory of Einstein rather than that of Newton, and they succeed. The theory that correctly predicts is the one that is viewed as true, but only as long as it works. The accepted theory is always being modified as new evidence is collected. So this becomes a model for the pragmatists about how one gains truth, not by rational insights, but by coming up with theories and then experimenting to see which theory is correct. This need for continuous modification of the accepted view provides an important corollary for the pragmatist, namely the doctrine of fallibilism. That is, that what we now regard as true is only tentatively so, and may require modification on the basis of further experiments. The implication of this is that there are really two different meanings when we say that an idea is true. One possibility, and what we usually mean, is that the idea has been working up to this point. The experiments support it, the evidence supports it, so that's what we say is true. But that's only for the moment. We may need to change our views in the future. But one can also formulate a more absolute idea of truth, namely that, as American pragmatist Charles Saunders Peirce put it, truth is what all people who investigate will ultimately come to believe. That's the absolute notion of truth, what all people who investigate will ultimately come to believe. Absolute truth is an ideal to be pursued, but it is an ideal that is unattainable as long as more experiences are possible. That is, as long as time remains. Nevertheless, we can be confident that use of the scientific method allows us to move ever closer to the ultimate truth. We are approximating it, even though we can never attain it. We are certainly closer to a correct understanding of the universe than people who lived 1,000 years ago, or even 200 years ago. And we can expect that continuing scientific experimentation will lead to an ever greater approximation to absolute truth in the future. That is the optimistic side of pragmatism. We're progressing even though the ultimate limit is not yet attainable and won't be as long as there's more time. Fallibilism is a principle of pragmatism that is very relevant to Unitarian Universalism and to religion generally. It implies that it is very inappropriate for people to claim that they have the truth and are very committed to maintaining that version of the truth regardless of what new knowledge may be acquired or what new experiences people may have. Our experience and our knowledge are ever expanding. Consequently, our commitment, as that of any scientist, should not be to the conclusions that may seem correct at some particular moment, but rather our commitment should be to a method for discovering new truths, to the method of experimentation, and to the continuing evaluation of beliefs within our community of those who seek the truth and the improvement of our human society. Our commitment should not be to any particular past or present conclusions about what is true or what is good, but rather to continuous growth in our understanding of what is true and what is good. Pragmatists carry on the Enlightenment focus on the need for humans to use reason. And for pragmatists, reason means the use of intelligence in solving problems, as scientists do when they are developing hypotheses about what might be the cause of some phenomenon or what might be done to solve the problem. It is our capacity to use reason in this sense that makes pragmatism optimistic about the future, even as we need to deal with some new, really big problems. with regard to what pragmatism means in the life of individual persons, let me refer to my own experience. I was fortunate to have teachers in my kindergarten through high school education who were informed by and dedicated to the ideas of pragmatist John Dewey. It is no accident that my commencement address at our high school graduation was titled "Keep Growing: The Kernel of Dewey's Ideas About Education and Life," even though at that time I was not aware of the source of these ideas. I just incorporated them from my own education. Let me mention some particular well-known American philosophers who are pragmatists. In connection with the principle of fallibilism that I just mentioned, Charles Saunders Peirce, son of a Harvard professor of mathematics, Peirce had his own chemistry lab at the age of 12 and was studying philosophy in his teens. He graduated from Harvard and then from the Lawrence Scientific School of Harvard 4 years later. He did scientific work for almost 2 decades before becoming a professor of philosophy with special interest in mathematical logic and Boolean algebra. But his interests also included religion and the nature of language. Fallibilism and the existence of totally unpredictable chance occurrences, later the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, were two of Peirce's main ideas. Unfortunately, many of his writings were not published during his lifetime, not until 1930s, 20 years after his death. One of Peirce's classmates at Harvard was William James, 1842 to 1910, younger brother of the famous writer Henry James. William James received much of his education at various private schools in both the US and Europe. He studied physiology for a while in Germany, then returned to Harvard for his medical degree in 1869. 3 years later, he was appointed professor of psychology at Harvard, and his Principles of Psychology, published in 1890, was one of the first scientific textbooks in the field of psychology. Some of his popular lectures were published as The Will to Believe and Other Essays. In the years 1901 to 1902, he gave the Gifford Lectures in Edinburgh, which were published as Varieties of Religious Experience, an account of people's various conversion experiences in many different religious contexts, including sometimes conversions to atheism. A second volume of James' essays titled Pragmatism was published in 1907. John Dewey, 1859 to 1952, is the most widely known proponent of pragmatism, though he himself preferred other names for this movement, such as naturalism, instrumentalism, or experimentalism. Dewey was born in Vermont and graduated from the University of Vermont in 1879. After teaching in public schools for 3 years, he went to Johns Hopkins University to get his PhD in philosophy. He taught at the University of Michigan for 10 years before going to the University of Chicago, where, in addition to teaching philosophy and psychology, he was able to run a laboratory school focused on educational practices. In 1904, he went to Columbia University in New York. His lectures in Japan resulted in a book called Reconstruction in Philosophy. He was also invited to give lectures in China, Russia, Turkey, Mexico, and many European countries. His 40 books include Experience and Nature, published in 1925, and The Quest for Certainty, published in 1929. Other well-known pragmatists are George Herbert Mead, Willard Van Orman Quine, Donald Davidson, and Richard Rorty. William James and John Dewey are the philosophers best known as central to the pragmatist movement, but their views are very different, especially with regard to the role of humans in society and how one finds truth in religion. William James was a champion of individualism. As a pragmatist, he believed that what works is true, but he believed this from a very individualistic point of view. For example, if it works for you, that is, makes your life more satisfactory, to believe that there is a God who guarantees that good will prevail in the end and that people continue to live after their death, then these beliefs are true for you, even if they might not be true for some other individual. So here's a very individualistic idea of what works for you. And James himself was a supporter of traditional religious beliefs. Furthermore, James thought that you could and should consciously adopt views that make life more satisfactory. Early in his own life, James experienced a period of depression as a result of reading material showing that people do not have free will, but are merely the products of their heredity and environment. After reading an essay with an opposing viewpoint by French philosopher Renouvier, he wrote in his diary, quote, "My first act of free will shall be to believe in free will," end of quote. He recovered his health, and from then on, he championed what he called the will to believe. Deliberately adopt views that make your life happier. That was his general application of pragmatism to one's own life. John Dewey, on the other hand, always saw individuals as part of a community. One of his books, Individualism Old and New, published in 1929, tells how his own progressive view of individualism differs from the rugged individualism often associated with this country. What matters is not so much what works for you as a separate individual, but what works for the whole community. Scientists work as a part of a scientific community, engage in a collective search for truth, which serves the whole human community. So scientists are not out there working separately without having other scientists checking on what they're doing. This concern with the whole human community led Dewey to be especially concerned about the education of children and about promoting democracy as a way of community decision making. He insisted that philosophers should not be engaged in abstract discussions of little interest to the rest of society, but should be leaders in addressing the problems of the whole human society and how to advance the welfare of the individuals in that society. Dewey's main work concerning religion is titled A Common Faith. In it, he argues that humanity needs the notion of God, or the divine, as the concept of ideal possibilities to be realized, which can arouse emotion and thus promote the growth of the ideal and its realization. He denigrates militant atheism for lacking natural piety, for viewing the natural world as indifferent and even hostile, rather than as supportive of humanity and our ideals. So that's where Dewey is quite different from a lot of other philosophers who are similar in other respects. I think that the seven purposes and principles regularly listed on the back of our Sunday bulletin provide a good summary of the ideal possibilities to which Dewey alludes. This church is a community committed to these ideals and part of the larger human community. Henry Nelson Wyman, 1884 to 1975, is a recent Unitarian Universalist theologian whose later ideas are unquestionably based on the pragmatic views of John Dewey. Wyman's father was a Presbyterian minister, and Henry himself became a Presbyterian minister in St. Joseph, Missouri in 1911. But in 1915, he resigned and enrolled at Harvard University, where he earned his PhD in philosophy in 1917. After teaching philosophy at Occidental College in Los Angeles for 10 years, he was invited to become professor of Christian theology at the University of Chicago. He resigned from Chicago in 1947 and then taught at the University of Oregon and the University of West Virginia. He joined the Unitarian Church in Eugene, Oregon in 1949, and in 1950 was granted ministerial fellowship with the American Unitarian Association. In 1951, he took a position teaching philosophy at the University of Houston. He became embroiled in a racial controversy between two Unitarian churches and ended up antagonizing both of them. But just then, at this very depressing moment, he received a letter from Martin Luther King Jr. indicating his intention to do his dissertation on a comparison of the idea of God in the thinking of Paul Tillich and Henry Nelson Wyman. In 1956, Wyman was invited to join the Faculty of Philosophy at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale, where he taught for 10 years while also being active in the Carbondale Unitarian Fellowship. John Breuer, who gave our organ to this church, went to Southern Illinois University at Carbondale in order to study under Wyman. He came from Oregon to study under Wyman. Our church library contains a book about Wyman, co-edited by Breuer and William Miner, entitled Creative Interchange, a Festschrift in Honor of Henry Nelson Wyman, as well as two of Wyman's own books, The Source of Human Good, published in 1946, and Man's Ultimate Commitment, published in 1958. These two books provide insight into Wyman's view that we need to change our concept of God from a supernatural, transcendent, personal being to a naturalistic force operating within the world, which is responsible for making human life better. We can discover by critical empirical investigation that this, quote, source of human good, which we can readily call God, is in fact the process of creative interchange we observe at work in democratic communities. For Wyman, it is this process of creative interchange that we should make central to our religious communities and to which we should make our ultimate commitment. In 1970, just 6 days after his death, Wyman was awarded the Unitarian Universalist Association Award for Distinguished Service to the Cause of Liberal Religion. So what can we say in conclusion? Pragmatism means being ready to experiment with new ways and focusing on getting problems solved, qualities which are associated with this country all over the world. When people think of Americans, this is what they think of, getting problems solved. Pragmatism is but one philosophical movement, but its origins are in this country, and it champions many of the ideas about using intelligence and scientific experimentation to solve problems which are found in our national culture and in our Unitarian Universalist religion. These pragmatic ideas of experimentation and fallibilism and not being dogmatic and being ready to adapt to new ideas and working together in a democratic community for the welfare of the whole world are evident in the basic purposes and principles of our Unitarian Universalist religion. It seems to me that there is a definite harmony between the philosophical outlook of pragmatism and the commitments of our Unitarian Universalist Association.